सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस, मे ही गाइड अस, मे ही गिव अस स्ट्रेंथ एंड राइट अंडरस्टैंडिंग। मे लव एंड हार्मनी बी विद अस ऑल। पीस 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 बी टू ऑल। वेदांत सार। वी आर डिस्कसिंग द फोर बेसिक थिंग्स ऑफ वेदांत। फर्स्ट अधिकारी स्टूडेंट, द क्वालिफिकेशन ऑफ स्टूडेंट। सेकेंड विषय, the subject matter of the of Vedanta. Third, sambandha, relationship between the subject matter and the text. Fourth, prayojanam, the necessity. Why should I study this book? So we have finished adhikari, the student, the qualification of a student, a Vedanta student should have four, should practice four disciplines. First, discrimination. Second, detachment, dispassion. Third, self-control. Fourth, desire for liberation. Up to this we have studied. Now vishaya, the subject matter. Vishayas jiva brahma ikyam shuddha chaitanyam prameyam tatraiva vedantanam tatparyat. The subject is the identity of the individual self and Brahman, which is of the nature of pure intelligence and is to be realized. For such is the purport of the Vedanta texts. Jiva Brahmaikam, identity of this individual being and the cosmic being, Jiva and Brahman. In Vedanta, we do not admit any kind of divisions. All divisions are caused by Maya, ignorance. We use this word Ekam Eva Dityam. Brahman is one without a second. Ekam, one. Eva, verily. Adityam, secondless. We have the concept of three kinds of divisions. First, Swagata Veda. Division in the same body or the same thing. For example, a human being, it has many divisions, this human body. As a body, it is one, but it has hands, feet, head, chest. Various limbs constitute this human body. A tree, it has root, trunk, branches, leaves, flowers, fruits, but all belong to the same tree. So these divisions are negated in Brahman. Second kind of division, that is Ekam. Eva, meaning truly, verily, there is no Svajatiya Veda. Svajatiya Veda meaning division in the same species. It is a deodar tree, pine tree, you know, then sycamore tree. There are various kinds of trees. So in Vedanta, all these divisions are negated. The third kind of division is called Vijatiya Veda. division of various things, chair, light, microphone, glasses, book, table, car, man, woman, all these various divisions, we find that the kind of division also is negated. So we come, when we say unity, one, so we must forget all these divisions. How they coined these words, you know, it is very interesting. The Upanishad tells us various kinds of indications. You see, Brahman is beyond the perception, beyond the mind. At the same time, we want to think about it. How? So, we need some kind of concept, ideas, though these concepts are not the true concept of Brahman, but nearest. Lakshman Vasudev, through indication, we sometimes try to understand Brahman is just like vast space, just mere word. We do not know what Brahman is, but we say just like vast space. There is a kind of called Tatastha Lakshana. Very interesting. It is good for you to know this kind of expression. Tatastha Lakshana means through indication, we are trying to tell you, St. Louis is on the Mississippi River. That is, St. Louis is a city, it does not float on the Mississippi River. Just indication, it is on the bank of the Mississippi River, you see? That is the way Vedanta tries to express. For example, he who, under whose guidance the sun and the moon function, this whole universe moves, the season changes, this whole creation evolves and dissolves, that is Brahman. We just have some mere words, we see some activities in this universe, so we are indicating that universe, that Brahman is just like, he is all-knowing, all consciousness, he knows everything. Just we are trying to indicate something. Then there is another kind of indication. What is Brahman? Brahman is existence, Brahman is consciousness, Brahman is bliss. Then Oikyaprashruti, we are trying to indicate that infinite through some expression. For example, Tattvamasi, you are Brahman. Your individuality and Brahman, your individual consciousness and Brahman consciousness are one. I am Brahman. This Atman is Brahman. This pure consciousness is Brahman. Then sometimes they try to indicate Brahman through negative way. What is Brahman? It is neither gross nor subtle, neither long nor short, neither red nor blue. In this way, they try to indicate various kinds of concepts through negative words. It is neither sound, nor touch, nor form, undecaying. In this way, they try to indicate Brahman. Sometimes they indicate Brahman through spiritual instruction. For example, Guru says, this is your Atman, it is sinless, it is desireless, it does not have any hunger or thirst, it is the truth, this Atman is to be known. Then sometimes this Atman, this Brahman, this consciousness is indicated through creation. From where this creation evolves, where it remains, where it dissolves, that is Brahman. Sometimes through action also they indicate, Javad Jivam Agnihotram Juhyat, you practice this kind of spiritual disciplines whole life till you attain liberation. One should try to understand Brahman through sacrifice, through charity, through austerity, through through spiritual disciplines. In this way, they try to indicate Brahman, because you see, it is beyond our reach. It is very indicating. There are various kinds of expressions. Jiva Brahma Oikam, that is our goal. You are Brahman, that we are going to establish. So Oikam, what is that? Shuddha Chaitanyam, it is pure consciousness. But is there any impure consciousness? You remember in my last lecture, I talked about it. Consciousness. Sometimes this light, pure light, you know, direct light and reflected light. So, Brahman is the pure consciousness, and all these individual beings are the reflected consciousness. You remember I gave that illustration? That here is the mirror, which is taking the reflection of the sun, and it can reflect to any direction you like. Similarly, the Brahman reflects on our mind, and that reflected mind gets various kinds of knowledge about chair, about car, about book, about bicycle, about body. All these various kinds of knowledge comes through this reflected consciousness. Mind, we objectify the objects through the reflected mind. When the consciousness reflects, mind is matter. When the, like that, mirror is, you know, it does not have its own reflecting power. Similarly, mind does not have its own reflecting power. It gets the reflection from the Atman and then gets the knowledge. This is to be proved. This Atman, this pure consciousness is to be proved. How? How can you prove a thing? According to Vedanta, there are six types of evidence through which we established, we know something. First, perception. Through the eyes, I perceive the chair. So I have the knowledge of the chair. Some we know through the scripture, through hearing, shruti. Scriptural knowledge also helps us to know something. Some we know through inference. Some we know through postulation. Some we know through comparison. Some we know through non-apprehension. These are the six types of, I discuss these things, it is a six methods of knowledge. There is no jar on the floor. It is called non-apprehension, knowledge of non-existence of jar. Comparison, seeing a cow, you can say the horses are like cows, you know, like that. You compare the four, you know, four-footed animals, that is the way we through comparison, we get knowledge. Anyhow, so this knowledge of oneness, that you are Brahman, only can come through the Shruti, through the Upanishads, through revealed scriptures. It does not come through perception, because it is not an object. This you are Brahman, you are God, this knowledge will come through the scripture, revealed scripture. Please, Swami, why Vedantanam Tatparja? That is the whole motto, goal of Vedanta, to bring this unitive knowledge. What is wrong if I have dualistic knowledge? Misery. Dualistic knowledge. Do you know what the dualistic knowledge means? That means you see this world. Samsara. What is samsara? This world? Full of happiness and misery. Happiness and misery. Pleasure and pain. This whole world is full of duality. That is called world. This moment you are happy, next moment you are miserable. Who does this job? Mind. How? You see, mind becomes sick and mind becomes healthy. If you have faith, love, devotion, discrimination, dispassion, then your mind is healthy. That healthy mind, strong mind will lead you to God. What is the nature of the sick mind? Lust, anger, jealousy, hatred. That is a sign of a sick mind. That mind leads us downward, fall. It is amazing. Sometimes you think about this world. What is world? Happiness and misery. That is this world. Well, I want to transcend this happiness and misery. As Swamiji said, happiness and misery are always together. We are always looking for absolute happiness in this world. That means we are crazy. There cannot be absolute happiness in this world. This world is a mixture of both good and evil. Happiness and misery. Have you seen anybody is really happy, all the time happy, absolutely happy in this relative world? No. Have you seen anybody who is absolutely miserable? No. So all these human beings you see are happy and miserable. Happiness, this moment they are happy, next moment they are miserable. That is called world. Vedanta says, look, I shall take you to a place where there is no happiness, no misery. Only bliss and bliss alone. That is Brahman. That is Atman. That is your real nature. So that is the subject matter of Vedanta. Absolute peace, absolute bliss. That is Brahman. That is you, your real nature. The moment you identify yourself with the mind, you are gone. Identified with body, you are bound. That is the sign of a bound soul, all the time thinking about the body, body, body. That means that person is a very gross person. If you think of the mind, you are really much better. Day and night they think about the body and food, body and food. Very gross. And all the time complain. That means that person is in a very lower level. You see, when disease comes, sickness comes to the body, you cannot stop it. What to do? Think of higher things. They will come and go. Some people brood all the time about the body. Pure intelligence, the state of homogeneity wherein all attributes are transcended. The point to be realized, which is also the object of Vedanta, is the identity of Brahman and Jiva by the elimination of their respective attributes, such as omniscience or limited knowledge, etc., superimposed by ignorance. The result will be a state of pure intelligence wherein all ideas of separation and variety are effaced. The word pure intelligence is mentioned in the text in order to refute the contention that the Jiva and Brahman, which are essentially different in nature, may yet remain a state of unity like milk and water. Now the word pure consciousness, the word I have used. How can I experience that pure consciousness? My consciousness is the reflected consciousness, remember. Vritti. My mind is taking various kinds of thought waves. Chair, that man, that woman, that trees, that plant, that book. This vritti. And I am getting the knowledge of those objects. If my mind takes the vritti, thought of Brahman, what will happen? That he is asking. Do you know what will happen? Then, this vritti, it is very important to understand this how to practice Vedanta. The moment you think of Sri Ramakrishna, or Christ, or Buddha, or Brahman, so the mental vritti encompasses Buddha, or Ramakrishna, or Brahman. Then this vritti, this mind, becomes one with Brahman, with one with God consciousness. It loses its individuality. I am Chaitanananda, I am a monk, I am this, I am that. That vritti is gone. Only this vritti is going and encompasses Brahman. Then what happens? Upanishad says, if a drop of water falls into the ocean, that drop of water becomes the ocean. If a raindrop falls into the ocean, the raindrop instantly becomes the ocean. It loses its that smallness, that littleness. Similarly, the moment your mind, individual consciousness, becomes one with Brahman consciousness, it becomes Brahman. Please show me how this vritti, I am Brahman, that is also is a vritti, thought wave, limited thought wave. Do you know what does it do? That vritti destroys limitations. It destroys the ignorance about Brahman. Vritti destroys vritti. I am Chetanananda, that is a vritti, thought wave. I am Brahman, that is also a vritti, thought wave. So I am Brahman destroys this knowledge of I am Chaitanananda, and then it remains I am Brahman. Vritti, thought wave, destroys thought wave. What remains? The same. You see, a thought wave, I do not manifest Brahman. Brahman is self-luminous. My vritti, my thought wave, destroys the ignorance about Brahman. And then it just stops. Let me give an example. It is good to understand this part of Vedanta philosophy. When you wash your clothes in the washing machine, you put a lot of detergent. The detergent takes away all the dirts, and they also are washed away through the machine. You know, the detergent also goes through the hose and cleanses the clothes, and both dirt and detergent both go away. Remains only clean cloth. Similarly, this I am Brahman, this thought wave stops I am Chaitanananda. And then I am Brahman, that thought wave also goes away, only Brahman remains. Sri Ramakrishna gave an example. If a thorn pricks into your foot, you take another thorn and take that thorn out, and then both you throw away and make your foot thornless. Again, the other people are asking question, is Brahman known or unknown? If it is unknown, we cannot know it. And if it is known, then we know it. Because we want to prove it. Prameyattam. Prameya means we want to go prove, establish it. What do you want to prove it? Brahman. Do you know it or not? If you know it, then the question of proving it does not arise. And if you do not know it, ajñātam, then sampurnata, then you cannot raise the question at all. The answer is, we know generally, not fully. Generally means indirectly. We know about Brahman from the guru, from the teacher, and from the books. But we have no experience. We have no experience. For the reason, we will have to know. As Sri Ramakrishna says, somebody heard about milk, somebody saw milk, somebody touched milk, and somebody drank milk and got nutrition. So our goal is to drink the milk and get nutrition, get strength from the milk. That we do not have. You see, we have seen milk or we have touched milk, but we have never drunk milk. That is called, then I fully know that yes, I know the power of the milk, the value of the milk. So what is the tatparjat? Vedantanam tatparjat. The purpose of Vedanta is to bring unity between individual soul and Brahman. You are Brahman. That we are going to prove. Sambandha. Sambandha tu tadikya prameyasya tat pratipadako upanishad pramanasya cha buddho bodhaka bhava. The connection is the relation between that identity which is to be realized and the evidence of the Upanishads that establishes it as between a thing to be known and that which tells of it. Identity, the unity of the jiva and the Brahman, though the existence of pure intelligence can never be directly proved or explained, it can be done only by an indirect method, as the subsequent text follows. Ajñātaṁ gyāpakaṁ śāstraṁ. The thing which we cannot know in any other means, that we can know through the scripture. About God, about soul, about what afterlife, about the result of karma, how it comes to the soul. All these things we know through the scriptures. Now the question arises, who wrote this scripture? The rishis, the seers of truth. Through meditation, through their intuitive knowledge, they narrated those things to us. Well, you may ask, Swami, are they befooling us or not? Whether they are truthful or not, how do you know? A person speaks lie when he has some motive, some self-interest. These people do not have any motive, no self-interest. So they cannot be liars. Secondly, look, if one sage may speak lie to us, but all sages will not speak lie. Whereas one or two persons may motivated may make mistake, but all Vedas, all Upanishads, which are told by the different rishis, different sages, they said the same thing. And they are all nameless rishis. They do never say that, you know, I am the, you know, I my name should be in the on the front page. They never came to claim their name and fame. See how it works? So Buddha Bodhaka Bhava. Buddha means the thing which this Upanishads, which will explain to us, which will make us understand this unity between individual soul and Brahman. Now the question will arise. This is scripture, what are those scriptures? Many are words, sound. We learn through words, symbol, cat, horse, man, woman, chair. These are all sound. Through sound we see some symbols. Really it is the sound which creates all these symbols. Light, rectum, what is called lectern. We see. These are all symbols, sounds. Now we see you in a Brahman, is Brahman is a sound, you know. We sometimes say Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. See, these things, you know, how can we indicate that infinite through sound? Sound. Has two parts, shabdarth and bachya. Shabdarth means bachyarth and laksharth. Word meaning and indicative meaning. Word meaning. This man is a lion. Just I said, this man is a lion. What does it mean? This man cannot be lion. Man is man, lion is lion. What meaning is this man is lion. That means this man is really a lion. But I did not mean that. I mean this man is a strong, powerful, heroic like a lion. That I mean. That is called indicative meaning. That person's strength, bravery is just like a lion. So the question arises that, you know, when you say Brahman, Satyam Jnanam, Brahman is truth, consciousness, and infinite. Ananda, bliss. Now look, we get knowledge through sound. There are three ways we get the knowledge: jati, guna, kriya. Jati means species. All chairs, all cars, there are different men, women. These are all different species. We get the knowledge. Guna, seeing the qualities, red, blue, white, we get knowledge. Kriya, action. That person is a doctor, that person is a driver, other person is a computer engineer. All seeing the action, you know, we determine that person's, then we get the knowledge. But Brahman is neither a species, it does not have any quality, it does not have any action. How will you indicate that Brahman? How do you get knowledge in this world? Only this through three ways: species, through qualities, and through action. And Sangha. Sangha means just definition of some objects. But Brahman cannot be defined. God cannot be defined. Perhaps I told you that these words, existence, consciousness, bliss, these are all the essence of Brahman. They are not separate things. They are not nature of Brahman. You have a nature, good nature, bad nature, evil nature. You are egotistic, you are good, you are humble. These are all various natures of human beings we find. Brahman does not have any kind of nature. Nature means something external which is superimposed on you. Do you know the logic? If existence is separate from consciousness, then existence will be an object of knowledge. If existence is separate from knowledge, then existence will be an object of knowledge. And the thing which is an object is subject to destruction, is created. Bliss, if it is an object of knowledge, then bliss is created and it is subject to destruction. So, existence, consciousness, bliss, or existence, knowledge, and bliss are not three separate things. They are one. Same substance. That is the Sambandha. Upanishad wants to prove that thing, that unity. Buddha Bodhaka Sambandha. This book will explain the truth which is indivisible Brahman. Now, Prayojanam. Prayojanam tu tadaikyo pramiyogato ajnano nivrittihi saru sasarupananda abaptisya taruti shukam atmavi ittadi shrutehi brahma veda brahma eva bhavati ittadi shrutehcha. The necessity is the dispelling of ignorance relating to that identity which is to be realized as the attainment of bliss resulting from the realization of one's own self. As in such Shruti passages, the knower of self overcomes grief. He who knows Brahman becomes Brahman. Prayojanam. Prayojanam means necessity. Why should I read this scripture? What is the purpose? What shall I gain? Without any purpose, a human being does not breathe. We do not move our bodies without purpose. There must be some purpose. Here is a potter. He puts some clay on the wheel and he rotates the wheel and then he makes cups and saucers and plates. So what is the purpose? What is the necessity of this action? Because he wants to make cups and plates, mugs, saucers. Prayojanam, pravritti, necessity. We are all guided by that necessity. For the reason we move in this world, which is amazing. We have desires, we fulfill our desires. That is the way we function. There are two kinds of necessities. Primary necessity, secondary necessity. What is the secondary necessity? Suppose I need some cooking pots and pans, I need some china, I need some silver spoons and food. These are all secondary necessities. What is the primary necessity in human life? Bliss. If I eat food, I shall not suffer from hunger, I shall get some joy. That joy, that bliss is the primary necessity. You go to work. Why? You need money. Money is secondary necessity. Money brings food, car, nice house, rest. You know, of course, seldom you will get rest if you have too much money. Money brings restlessness, not rest. So, money is not the goal. Bliss is the goal. Wife is not the goal. Bliss is the goal. Children are not the... Those are all secondary necessity. Primary necessity is bliss. You know, sometimes think about it. There are two kinds of necessities. primary, secondary. Its cheer is the secondary necessity because it gives you a little comfort, joy, peace, happiness. That is primary necessity. A clothes are secondary necessity. Primary necessity is so that I may not get cold. I feel comfortable under the clothings. Try to visualize that how is this world working, functioning. Bliss, bliss, bliss is the goal. Sukham me nirutishayam bhuyat. May I have excessive joy, excessive happiness, excessive bliss continually in my life. Each individual being is seeking that uninterrupted happiness. Do you know why? Because that is his nature. Each individual being is seeking uninterrupted bliss because that is his nature. He will never stop until and unless he gets it. Now the question arises, Swami, we are all miserable. I have ego problem, I have fight, I have so much sufferings, what shall I do? For that reason, you will have to study Vedanta. Vedanta will destroy your ignorance. Then, the Vedanta teachers found out a human beings are seeking that bliss outside. They are seeking bliss through the senses, forgetting that the blissful ocean is within them. Sometimes meditate on this theme. I am seeking joy outside. I am seeking joy through the sense objects. But that blissful Satchidananda is within me. If you want to taste that blissful Satchidananda, you'll have to turn your mind inside. There is no other way. Outside those sense objects, there is some joy, no doubt, but that joy is a temporary joy, momentary. Because that Brahman pervades everything. By sense objects, food, other enjoyable things, Brahman is there, but very matra, just tidbits. You are carrying the blissful ocean within, but you have never tasted that bliss in your life. So do you know what we are doing? A maya covered that ocean of bliss and forcing your mind, my mind, to the external object. Now this Vedanta will knock out that outgoing tendency and you'll turn your mind inside. For the reason we are studying Vedanta. It will destroy your ignorance so that you can experience bliss, your real nature. Without the cessation of ignorance, one cannot experience blissful self. For the reason the author, Sadananda Jogindra, says, Ajnana Nivrittihi. First, you will have to stop this ignorance. Then, Shasharupananda Abhapti. Then you will attain your true self, your real nature, that Brahman. So this Vedanta literature will knock out your ignorance. We suffer because of ignorance. Ajnana nivrittihi. When we ignorance is wiped out, we attain self-knowledge. Then, what next? No more rebirth for you. You will be illumined forever. You will be free forever. Sanap nasa puna abartati. He will never come back. Maam upetta tu kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate. Krishna says in the Gita, listen, Arjuna, attaining me, that person never comes back to the world. This knowledge of Brahman destroys ignorance forever. Sometimes, you know, you turn off the light, it is dark. Then you turn off, turn on, you know, it continuously goes on and off all through our lives. But this knowledge, when it dawns in our heart, it never goes away. Forever, you are illumined. Sometimes people ask, Swami, we make mistake, again we make the same, then we get knowledge, again we make mistake, we get knowledge, again we get mistake, we make mistake. How come? There is a rope on the floor. Due to darkness, you see it as a snake. When I bring the light, you get the knowledge. Yes, it is a rope. Next day, again you see the same rope. Because of darkness, you are thinking it is a snake. First time I brought the knowledge, you know, brought the light, and you got the knowledge. Still you are same thing again. You are making mistake. You are thinking that there is, it is a snake. So you have attained Brahman today. Let it be like this. No. Tulagyan and mulagyan. Ignorance is also of two kinds. Mulagya, Mulagyan means the cosmic ignorance and individual ignorance. Individual ignorance, it goes away, again it comes back. It goes away, again it comes back. Do you understand? That snake, again it is coming again and again. Every day you see the rope in the darkness, you think it is a snake, everything. First day you saw it is a rope, you know, somebody showed you through light. Again you are making the same mistake again and again, again and again, again and again. That is our problem. We are making mistake again and again, again and again. That means we have that individual ignorance is counteracted by individual knowledge. It is clear that day, again that thing is coming back. But if the source of ignorance, the cosmic ignorance, if it goes away, no more individual ignorance comes to your mind. Let me give an example. I did not see that kind of scum in America, which grow on the surface of a big pond. Suppose in the corner of the pond, you have taken some portion of the scum. And that day you see that water, clear water below. Next day you come, you will find the other scum came and covered that area again. Again you remove it. Again that scum will grow and will cover that place again. Again you remove it. There is no end. Where is the end? If you can remove the whole scum of the pond, then the water of that pond will remain clean. That is true. So this knowledge of Brahman knocks out this cosmic ignorance forever. So that soul never makes any mistake. Mulagya, cosmic ignorance. How can we get that highest knowledge. Krishna says in the Gita, Gyanagni, the knowledge, the light of knowledge, burns all actions. Let me give an example. If you can fry the peanut and destroy its potentiality to become a plant, then that peanut will never sprout again. If the peanut is raw and if you put into the soil, it will sprout. That if the peanut is highly roasted and dry, you put it into the soil, it will never sprout. So through this knowledge of God, knowledge of Brahman, if you can roast your mind, that individual, that we call jiva, food, that antakarana, inner mind, in our inner organ, if you can roast it, Swami, what does he roast it? Can he be fried? No. If you can make that mind luminous through the knowledge of God, the ignorance, darkness cannot stay there. If the mind is all the time luminous, do you know how does the yogi make the mind all the time luminous? Through renunciation, through austerity, through purity. They have no desire. As a result, their mind is calm, serene, clean, and Brahman reflects there all the time. So they never get bound. They never get caught by Maya. Difficult. Sadananda Yogindra says, in this knowledge, this Brahman shall, Agyananibhiti Paramananda Prapti, the attainment of the supreme bliss, is it something that we get it? No, you are always, you have it. You have always, you know, you have it all the time. It is Prapti Prapti, the attainment of the attained. That is the Vedantic expression. If the necklace is covered under the turtleneck sweater, and you are searching that necklace all around, you are miserable because you are thinking that you have lost it. When somebody points out, there is the necklace under your sweater, you take it out and you are happy. So Brahman is like that. Well, we are always Brahman, but we forgot it. So we are lamenting, crying, we are miserable. What is the result? If I attain Brahman, what will happen? Brahmavid Brahmaiva Bhavati. Now first is Sadananda Yogindra quoted from the Chandogya Upanishad. Tarati Shokam Atmavid. Tarati, it transcends. Shokam, grief. A knower of Atman transcends grief forever. You have no more misery. Next, Brahmavid Brahmaiva Bhavati, knower of Brahman becomes Brahman. That is something new, you see. When you know a chair, you do not become a chair. When you know a jar, you do not become a jar. When you know some chemicals in the lab, you do not become one with chemical. But here he says, Brahmavid Brahmaiva Bhavati, knower of Brahman becomes Brahman. How is it possible? And you will become Brahman. You means what? Your two hands, 2 feet, your 130 pounds weight. So, your consciousness, your pure consciousness becomes Brahman. Example, a space, this room space, this chapel space, and the cosmic space, as a space, both are the same. Only these four walls and the roof are obstructing. the infinite space. The moment you break these limitations, these four walls and the roof, it becomes a space. Similarly, you are limiting yourself through body-mind organism. Actually, you are that pure Atman, pure Brahman. Break these barriers. Bole, Swami, shall I commit suicide? That will bring instant self-knowledge. You will be more miserable. You will be a ghost. Sri Ramakrishna said. Try to get rid of this body consciousness and mind consciousness. Do you know there are some signs of true spirituality? A really spiritual person is very unselfish. He is not self-centered. He is not egotistic. He does not hurt anybody. He is humble. He loves everybody, serves everybody, thinking that God dwells in all beings. I'll write up to this tonight. Please ask me questions. The Buddhist and the Nayayikas, they believe that negation of misery is happiness. They try to see the negative aspect. Cessation of misery is liberation. That is their concept. You have misery? Yes, sir. Stop misery. Then next what? Vedanta, for that reason, Vedanta is very positive. Cessation of misery and the attainment of supreme bliss, they come simultaneously. Positive bliss, that is our goal. Well, all through my life I am trying to destroy misery. Are you enjoy life? Sri Ramakrishna said, when you have come to this world, enjoy mangoes. Eat it, enjoy it. Why are you day and night thinking about misery? You see, Sri Ramakrishna always told this positive philosophy. Same thing Vedanta. Paramananda praptihi. Attain that paramananda, supreme bliss. Your focus is towards that supreme bliss, not to destroy ignorance. I will have to remove ignorance, no doubt, even agyana nivritti. I will have to stop, otherwise I am not going to supreme bliss. But supreme bliss is my primary goal. Very positive. There are some people, you know, are very negative. Yeah, it is true, but you know, it is the same thing, you know, cessation of misery. But but they do not talk about bliss. They say that is the goal.
And then it's desire that's causing the misery.
End of desire. That is Buddha's philosophy. End of desire. Yes. But goal is bliss. That is our real nature. That we are looking for all the time.
How would it find coming back to this world if I'm able to live in this year all the time? It's nice to live here, no?
This is called Anubandha Chatushtaya. The qualifications. the subject matter, qualifications of a student, the subject matter of the Vedanta, the scripture, and the relationship with the subject matter, and the fourth, the necessity.